Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Sports Fan Show. My name is Ian Mackey, and today we'll be breaking down the NBA free agency and the NBA Summer League games that's going on right now all over in Vegas and Utah and then down in Orlando. So, Vance, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm all right. Man, let's break down the NBA free agency. LaMarcus Aldridge to the Spurs, that's the big news right there. How you feel about LaMarcus Aldridge to the Spurs?
I think it's a good move for the Spurs. I think it's a good move for LaMarcus. I really would like for LaMarcus to have stayed in Portland, but he felt like Portland has gone away from them. Like, they was getting Damian Lillard the keys to the castle, so he felt like it was time for him to go, so we'll see. But I think it's a real good move. I think it puts them right at the top of the Western Conference.
I don't think they were giving Damian Lillard the keys to the castle. I just think, Lamar, I think players nowadays understand, like, yo, I'm 30 years old. I don't know how long I can be in my prime. I'm a free agent. I need to start winning and getting rings. Because you see LeBron going to the finals like five times. You see all these teams going to the finals like the Spurs and the Mavericks and your team. You don't want to be that great player like Charles Barkley. No disrespect to Charles Barkley or Karl Malone. Karl Malone and Charles Barkley have been in the finals. But you don't want to be one of those players who never made it to the finals or never had a chance to win a ring. Because then you'll be one of those players that just, he was good, but he never was a champion. And that's what builds legacies. And I think Marcus Aldridge is trying to build his legacy. More than anything, he's trying to build his legacy.
But you can't say that Charles Barkley or Karl Malone are not great players. And they did both make it to the finals. It's just it couldn't be Jordan. So, you know.
Yeah, but championships define. They say championships define. Next, we got DeAndre. Huh?
They do define, though.
Yeah. Next, DeAndre Jordan to the Mavs. Now, this is more of a, you know, I ain't going to deal with your little point guard trying to diss me anymore. I'm going to try to be the man in my own town. DeAndre Jordan to the Mavs.
Well, the report that him and Chris Paul didn't get along, but I think DeAndre Jordan's made a mistake because, to me, the Clippers, he fit real well with the Clippers. I think that when he gets to Dallas, he's not going to be Dallas. Only have a point guard that can do things Chris Paul can do. So I think he's going to have a hard time in Dallas. It's not going to
Well, you know, Dallas here to add Wesley Matthews. But then, you know, they got Jeremy Lin. They may be trying to get Jeremy Lin. They're going to get point guard right there. But seriously, though, I feel like this is more of a, you know, I want to be the man. I don't want to be Blake Griffin's sidekick no more. I want to be Batman. I'm tired of being Robin. Or Batgirl, because you got Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. That's Batman and Robin. And DeAndre Jordan was treated like Batgirl. So, you know, maybe he want to be his own man. But you got to respect that. But Wesley Matthews, Dallas making some moves. They still have a point guard. But they told Dirk to take less money so they can bring some stars there. It looked like they did what they said they were going to do.
But bringing DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews in is not going to put Dallas over the top. It's still going to be a fourth or fifth seed team. I don't care. They're going to have somebody, a real guard, that can run the show. And I just don't see one in Dallas right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't necessarily count the Clippers out. You know, I thought about something when they lost DeAndre Jordan. Like, who could they get to fill that void? And you know what name popped in my head, man? JaVale McGee. I'm a fan and advocate for JaVale McGee. You know, he messes up over and over again. But JaVale, take the veteran's minimum. Go play with Chris Paul. Go have him throw you. Let Doc work on your mental state. This will be a rejuvenation, a rebirth of JaVale McGee. And people are like, dang, I know JaVale McGee didn't look this good. I'm telling you, man, the Clippers should go after JaVale McGee.
Not a bad idea, not a bad idea. I didn't even think about JaVale McGee. But, yes, I think JaVale McGee would thrive with Chris Paul and alongside Blake Griffin. Another name, if his mental state is in order, Larry Sanders. I think he might be a good player.
Yeah,
good team.
He's more messed up than Javale McGee.
But he can play, though.
He can play, but man, I'm telling you, Javale McGee would thrive. Thrive with Chris Paul. And you would have Doc Rivers pushing him to be a better person, to be a better player. I just feel like that's a win-win for the Clippers. You get him cheap. He balls for you. You sign him for a minimum next year, the following year, and he balls for you again. Then you throw a little extra money at him. But now we got to move over to their neighbors, the big brother, because they will always be the big brother. I don't care how good the Clippers become. They win the next Western Conference, and they don't win titles. Lakers got 16 of them things, so they the big brother. Roy Hibbert to the Lakers. It won't be official till July 9th. So the mandatorium's over with. But Roy Hibbert to the Lakers, Lou Williams to the Lakers, and Brandon Bass to the Lakers. Vance, you know what I call these? These are jab steps. Those are fake moves, as Fab would say. These are jab steps. These ain't no real moves. These are moves to pacify the fans and say, hey, we're trying, but you're not really doing anything. How do you feel about the Lakers making these jab steps?
I actually like the Lou Williams, because Lou Williams is going to give him some scoring alongside Kobe and Swaggy P. I do like Lou Williams.
And D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson. Look at all these guards, man. What are they doing out there, man?
Hey, stockpiling. You know, that's the way the league go now. They stockpile on guards. So that's how the league's going now. But as far as Roy Hibbert's last couple seasons with Indiana hasn't been so great, so I don't know what they're going to get out of Roy Hibbert. And Brandon Bass is a nice piece to pick up to come off the bench, so I think they get good with Brandon Bass and Lou Williams, but the jury's still out on Roy Hibbert. Is he going to revitalize his career in L.A.? I doubt, but we shall see.
Yeah, man, maybe this is a rebirth for Roy Hibbert, but it's only 1 year. The Lakers didn't take the next 2 years of $15 million. They took 1 year. Basically, they took the money off the Pacers' books. The Pacers like, look, we don't want anything in return, basically. Just take Roy Hibbert. Take this $15 million. You got $15 million extra. Please do us this favor, and we'll owe you a favor down the line. That's how I feel this deal worked out, because they didn't want Roy Hibbert, but the Lakers, hey, we need to fill this void. We're going to tell the fans, we tried something. We tried to hit for the fences. Now we'll bring in Roy Hibbert. Like, I feel like that's always the backup plan. And your plan B should be a better way to do plan A. You know what I'm saying? Also, man, I really do feel that the Knicks, the Celtics are like in a holding pattern, because I don't know what Danny Ainge is doing with all these picks, and I'm not sure if he tried to build his stockpile of good players, but I really don't know what he's doing out there. I just know he got a lot of picks. And the Knicks, I just feel like, you know, they're in flux. They lost a lot, tried to get the lottery. They didn't hit the lottery. And now they're just here. Like, yo, we just got to take a risk on a European player.
Well, I don't think that, you know, the Knicks are just saying they just had to take a risk on a European player. I feel like they feel like he was the best man in the draft at the time. They are a rookie, so we got to give him a chance. I know the Knicks hadn't been doing well with their draft picks in the last since Patrick Ewing, but you got to give them a chance. But as far as the Celtics go, I really don't know what Celtics are doing either. I mean, what is now your draft pick? They're starting to look like the Sixers now. They just traded for David Lee. But he has no one to go with. You know, David Lee's not going to just put a team on
his
back.
They just signed Amir Johnson too. So it's like I don't know.
Well, he's a decent backup.
But next, the Cavaliers. Cavaliers really ain't made any moves. Little slight moves, but not major moves. They just paid everybody. They paid Kevin Love. They paid Amon Shumpert. I mean, they basically paid everybody. So they're gonna have to pay LeBron. Then they're working out to pay Tristan Thompson. So they got that. They just paid everybody, but they're making little slight moves. Rumor is they're trying to bring Joe Johnson to the Cavs. Mo Williams came came back for a 2-year veterans minimum. So, you know, the Cavs are, you know, they reloaded, but they tweaked some things. They tweaked some things. You're not going to see Dellavedova a lot once Mo Williams gets to playing. I promise you that.
Yeah, I think the Cavs are trying to get too many players. Like Joe Johnson, they're rumored about Jamal Crawford, Mo Williams came back. I want to see what they're going to do with Shumpert and Tristan Thompson. Even if they're going to bring
Jeff. They just signed Shumpert. They gave Shumpert $10 million.
Okay. Tristan Thompson. Are they going to bring Jeff?
They're going to keep Tristan Thompson back at 80.
I understand they're going to keep. I just want to know what kind of deal they're going to give. I want to know what they're going to do with Aaron Saville. What they're going to do with Hayward's contract. Are they going to get Joe Johnson? Are they going to get Jamal Crawford? There's still some questions left to be answered. But I think anywhere it go, the Cavs come back, they will be in the finals again next year.
Okay. Now, next, Vance, I know you don't watch a lot of it, but I'm in love with summer league. Like, that's my fix for basketball in the summertime when basketball's over with. There's no football. Even if it was football, I'd probably still watch summer league. Because I just like seeing the rookies and just – I enjoy the game of basketball. I love it. Man, Summer League has been interesting. And the guy – the couple guys I picked out have really showed out for me where that caught my eye. Brandon Dawson out of Michigan State. That guy, Vance, he has a motor. I don't know how they build these guys in Michigan State. I don't know what time Izzo does to them once he gets there. But they're hard-nosed. They can handle contact as guards when they attack the rim. Man, he's like 6'7". They got him playing like – power forward, small forward, like a Draymond Green. But the guy's athletic. He can move. He can't, he don't necessarily have a jump shot, but he's very dynamic. He rebounds like a big. He's just really talented. Man, I don't know how he got to the second round and how the Clippers ended up with him. But he turned out really good.
Well, I know how he made the second round. He's 6'7", playing power forward and center. Yes, he reminds you a little bit of Draymond Green, but he doesn't have the outside shot. Not saying that Draymond Green is an excellent three-point shooter, but he does make you play on himself.
Draymond Green just got this shot. Let's just be honest. Draymond Green, in the lab, he worked on that. But I will say this. Also, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic out of Arizona, the Wildcats. He has showed me a lot this summer. He told me he can stretch the floor now. He can knock down a three-pointer. He handles the ball well. So imagine if your power forward can come down, bring the ball up, and can dime it off or finish or pull up. Like, these players in the NBA are starting to get more and more athletic. And I'm talking about the bigs of being able to bring the ball up and do dynamic things. Now, this is not the norm for American bigs, but for European bigs, I know Toni Kukoc, one of my favorite players, he used to bring the ball in. He's a lefty, can handle it. But if Aaron Gordon keeps playing as well, headed into the NBA season, he's going to do some things for him. I ain't saying he's going to have like a breakout season, but it shows glimpses of the future for the Magic that they're headed in the right direction. And they also have Mario Hunza. Man, the European kid, man, listen, man, he's cocky. He reminds me of a Caucasian version of Tracy McGrady, a young Tracy McGrady, athletic, can defend a little bit.
Slow down a bit with the Tracy McGrady compare.
But cocky, wants to shoot the ball, wants the ball in big game moments. Like, that's who you remind, like, if you had me to compare him to somebody, he would be a young Tracy McGrady, like Tracy McGrady in Toronto. Not saying he's a defensive specialist like the Tracy McGrady in Toronto, but, man, he can score, he's confident, and he's very athletic. Like, it's scary how good this kid may be.
Yeah. On Aaron Gordon, I think Aaron Gordon's game has evolved. They're trying to make him a stretch forward, which he only played basically inside in the paint in Arizona. I don't think he needs to try to stretch his game out to the three-point line. His ball handling has got better. But I can see Aaron Gordon being like a young Blake Griffin-type player. So I think that, you know, this year it will be his breakout year.
I think players like Blake, like Aaron Gordon, Clifford Alexander, and Brandon Dawson, you can look at a player like Tim Thomas. Like, go find old Milwaukee Bucks Tim Thomas tapes and study Tim Thomas. Like, that could be you in this league. If Tim Thomas played in the NBA right now, Tim Thomas would be a hot commodity. Some of these players like Aaron Gordon, Brandon Dawson, these twinger fours, they're like 6'8", 6'9". Look at some tapes of Tim Thomas. Do what he does when he was in the prime of his game, like when he was best, when he was in shape, when he was aggressive. The boy could hit the jump shot, hit the post up, to handle the ball a little bit. Like, he was a dynamic player. But, yeah. Go ahead, Vance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Tim Thompson was a man before his time. If Tim Thompson was in the league right now, he'd be a star. Because his game, the NBA game now, faced Tim Thompson's game to a T. So you're right about that. They do need to find some old Tim Thompson tapes and check him out, because he would be the person to model your game around right now.
Yeah, if you're a twinger, 6'8 guy, man, if you're in college and you're a 6'8 guy, if you listen to this show, man, go look at them Tim Thompson tapes. He would fit in today's NBA. It's not as physical as it was 8 years ago, 9 years ago, or 10 years ago when he was in the league. He had hand checking back then. What y'all don't know about hand checking, you could guide your defense, the offensive player with your hand. They don't have that in the league anymore. But, man, Tim Thomas would be a great fit in the soft NBA today. Also, the Harrison twin, Aaron Harrison, who got picked up and went undrafted. Man, I watched. I know we talk about summer league, but summer league ain't about wins and losses to me. To me, is when you get this player, can he do the things against other rookies that you thought he could do when you draft him? Like, Aaron Harrison can handle the ball. He can knock down a jump shot. But he makes a lot of this. He makes a lot of basketball plays, smart basketball plays. And when you watch the game, especially with these kids coming out of college, can they transition to the NBA game a little better? Because it's a little faster. There's not a 35-second shot clock. And how he develops, like, can he knock down the jump shot? Can he handle the ball? Can we put him in situations to where now they have Aaron Harrison running point guard? Like, I know I'm an advocate for Dude, and I said something about him when I drafted him, but I feel like he can really grow once he gets to the league, because it's opened up. He ain't around Coach Calipari to tell him to be robotic, and I feel like he's shaded at Kentucky because he just gave the limelight to his brother. Now he's by himself, and he's looked pretty good so far. I mean, he plays pretty good defense. I mean, I think sometimes you can be overshadowed by your brother. Sometimes you let your brother shine and you just stand back. And that's what I think he did at Kentucky. And now I feel like he's going to see a better version of him.
Well, I think both of the Harrison twins are going to go to the next level. I think, you know, they was running the system in Kentucky. They did what the coaches wanted. They had a lot of players with a lot of different games at Kentucky. So I think that both of the Harris twins, even Aaron, game just going to flourish in the NBA, because now they're going to get a chance to show you what they have.
Yeah, I feel like we punish them because they sacrificed for the team. And I think a lot of NBA coaches, they looked at them different. Like, but if you looked at them like, yo, they did what they had to do for the team. They sacrificed for the betterment of the team. And that's what you want players to do when you come to the NBA. You're like, I need to sacrifice your ego for the betterment of the organization. And I feel like that's what they did. Also, Stanley Johnson and Justice Winslow have been really doing their thing in some leagues. You can't leave those guys out, because Stanley Johnson's been a monster. Justice Winslow, Ring would say, we knew who they thought they was. You know the saying that Green said, Dennis Ring said, they were who we thought they were. There you go. And he's pretty damn good. Also, Miles Turner for the Indiana Pacers. Pacers fans, man, he runs like his body's rejecting him from running. But if you put him on the block, he can turn over both shoulders. He can hit the mid-range jump shot. Like, he has a great feel for the pick and roll. for a big to have a great, I'm not going to say great, a decent feel for a young player that for a pick and roll. And for a big, you play basketball, for your big to have a feel for the pick and roll when he needs to roll or when he needs to pop, it's so important for a guard. Because now you're like, yo, he know when to roll. I don't have to tell him. I don't have to look at him a certain way. Like, he knows when to roll and knows when to pop. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, going back to Stanley Johnson and Justice Winslow. Stanley Johnson, yes, he has been playing pretty good lately. Justin Winslow, he's doing about what I expected from him. But Stanley Johnson, to me, is taking his game to another level. I've noticed over summer league, he's even trying to get an outside jump shot. And the knock on him was he couldn't hit any jumpers. Well, in the games that I've seen, he's been playing better, shooting the ball better than Winslow. Miles Turner, maybe that's why Pacers gave up on Roy Hill, because they see what, you know, they had a good player in Miles Turner. He is a good back-to-the-basket player, and he also rebound. And baseline jump shot, you know, he can hit that too. So, I think, as a whole, I think all three of those players are going to be really good for their team this year.
Yeah, I'm starting to become a big fan of Miles Turner. Just a big fan. And speaking of the Pacers, they got Monte Ellis. Then they brought back Rodney Stuckey. I think a lot of teams are moving to the small ball. And you thought the Spurs were going to move to small ball? No, they just got big. They changed it up on you. Just when you think you figured the Spurs out, they switched it up on you. And I really feel that, you know, in order to beat these small ball lineups, you got to hit them with some real bigs like LaMarcus Aldridge and Tim Duncan. And don't forget, David West left the Pacers and left $11 million on the table to go play with the Spurs. Now they're getting bigger. Now you got another guy. So who you going to put Klay Thompson on David West in the post, man? Who wins that battle?
David West every time.
Every time. Grown men beat up little boys in the post. I'm sorry.
That's
David
right.
West a grown man.
That's right. And see, these teams are going to this small ball. But like you said, when you get a big man who actually knows how to post up and just not straight trying to dunk the ball, he can actually do moves in the post over right shoulder, left shoulder. You can't stop that with a small player. I mean, your jump shot ain't going to fall all the time, but then in the paint, that game's going nowhere. So I think that the Spurs are doing, I think they're doing real good by adding Aldridge and David West. Like you said, he left $11 million on tape. So he's trying to win a championship. He don't feel that the Pacers are even close to that, which I don't either.
Yeah, but I'm just, and it, you know, another thing it does to the guards, when you got to guard a big man, takes away your legs. So that jump shot that you were missing earlier, that you was kind of missing, now your legs are, now your shot really flat. Now you're kind of airballing it. Now it's kind of short. Because guess what? That big man wearing your legs out, because now you got to, because you're not used to playing that post. You're not used to putting your forearm against somebody's back and using your legs and leverage and trying to defend against the big. Because now he's banging. Now he knows. He feel you. He feel you over the left side, he going to go right. He feel you on the right side, so he go left. Like, really good big men know how to play the post. And I feel like that's what's lost in the NBA now more than ever. Like, when you were big, all you do is run up and down the court and dunk. Block shots, but no one teaches you how to play the post. Like the post pocket, like take a seat. Like you're supposed to take a seat in the post. Like sit, right hand, right hand. If you're on the right side, right block, right hand in the air, left hand down, kind of holding off the defender. Catch the ball. Once you catch it, I mean, once they throw it, you jump with two hands. Catch it. Bam. Lean up against them. Feel which side. If you on your left side, strong. Spin right. You know, your right side strong, spin to the middle. Like, I feel like the game today and the coaching, AAU, and AAU probably has a big thing to do with it, but they don't develop bigs no more. They just don't.
Well, I just think everybody's want to be a guard. All the big men want to bring the ball. All the big men want to shoot threes. Like you said, you know, they not practicing on playing the post. Everybody just want to shoot jumpers. That's what they're in now. But it's time to get back to the post-up game. Akeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing. I want to see those type players. Even Alonzo Mourning. I want to see those back-to-the-basket players who could step out if they had to. But basically, the game is right. That's right. But the game is where they belong.
Yeah, they belong. Yeah, and I feel like, you know, big men don't wear skinny jeans. I mean, everybody want to wear these skinny jeans. Grown men, and then this is a public service announcement, you know, so all these young guys on the moon. Hey, man, hey, let your legs breathe, bro. Let the world, let the girls wear the tight pants, man. Big men, like I said, big men don't wear skinny jeans, bro. Big men get out of here, and they grind it out.
Me and Pierce shouldn't wear skinny jeans, but that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, man, those skinny jeans out here, man. You know, we just, man, listen, no tight shirts. You know, people call them fitted shirts. Listen, wear shirts that fit, not shirts that if you throw some water on, it's going to be hard for you to get out. You know, but seriously, though, man, we miss the big men. I hope they come back. Jahlil Okafor is one of those big men. Hopefully, he's playing pretty good so far in summer league. But in summer league, it's just a sample size. It's just really showing what the player has potential to do against other players that's coming out just like him. But, I mean, I'm really, really enjoying the summer league. It's been probably the most interesting summer league I've seen in a while, like talent-wise, you know. But time will tell how these players will play out, but I'm really interested in Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic got me really thinking about buying the league pass again, man. Seeing Orlando play Minnesota, I would like to see Minnesota some more. I would see Levine and Wiggins. Like, the league pass may be the go-to this year again.
Most definitely.
But, I mean, any other team you're interested in seeing doing something? I mean, because you watch the summer league, you want to see these players during the season. What team, like, yo, if they got these young players on your summer league team, I may have to pay for this league pass.
I want to see Phoenix. I want to see the young players they got. Phoenix, like you said, Minnesota. I want to see Utah. I want to see Utah players because they had a young players last year. I want to see how they playing. I actually want to see in another team, Portland. I want to see what they're going to get. I just want to see what Portland's
going to do. I kind of want to see what they're doing now. Like, I kind of want to see what they're going to look like. I mean, I know LA's going to have a couple games, but, man, they're just going to, it's going to be depressing. I already have a head full of gray hair. I kind of don't want it anymore. I try to avoid the Lakers because I get very depressed. I get very sad. And I was very sad this year watching a lot of their games. So. But I kind of want to see what the Clippers are going to do. League pass may be the goal. And George Karl, yo. The only reason I probably want to see the league pass, number two reason, to see George Karl and Cousins get into an altercation on the court. Like, that's what I want. That's what I'm going to pay. I hope it never happens. But I'm paying just in case I have the league pass and it happens in the game I watch. I'm like, I told you, they should have let George Karl go. He's going to do something with Boogie. He's going to get ejected or he's going to tell him, eject Boogie. Let me see what I can do without him on the court. We're going to get ejected three straight games because George Karl talking to the refs. Don't let him talk to you like that, refs. If he talks to you more crazy, you eject Boogie Cousins. Eject him. Then he's going to like, yo, I told you we should have got Kenneth Faried and Ty Lawson. In the middle of the season next year, Ty Lawson, Kenneth Faried to the Sacramento Kings for DeMarcus Cousins. And cash.
I think George Karl be gone by December. him and Cousins don't get along. I think it's going to be George Karl looking for another job or just going to sell out. Cousins or Karl, I'm going with the player. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Kenneth Faried and Ty Lawson didn't do nothing with George Karl there in Denver, so I don't expect them to do anything with the Kings. And they already brought Rondo in, so they don't need Ty Lawson.
All right. Well, man, so that was a pretty good show. We ran over. I don't think I set the time right, but, hey, it was a good show. Sometimes it went over and we continue to talk and people can listen to it. But I appreciate all my fiends out there tuning in to the show. If you like the show, follow us. Our next show is going to be Thursday, hopefully around 11 o'clock. The call-in number is 516-531-9784. Call next Thursday, this Thursday around 11 o'clock.